Hi guys, welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt, I am your host, and this is the show where we chat to rock, metal, punk, indie and alternative artists from all across the world. And this time around, I'm sat down with the excellent Katrin and Jack of the band Another Sky. Another Sky have a brand new record out called Beach Day. It is absolutely wonderful. This possibly is one of my favourite conversations I've recorded of 2024 thus far. It is the start of February as I record this, but it is really, really wonderful, this conversation. And the album is fantastic. And I know that I interview a lot of rock and a lot of metal bands, but I really do implore you to check out this new record by Another Sky. It's absolutely fantastic. And this conversation is wonderful. We chatted for just over 40 minutes. Really, really good fun. Really, really good vibes. It was really, really lovely. And a massive thank you to Lydia over at Virgin for sorting this one out and giving us the opportunity. It's been a pleasure working with you thus far. It's really, really lovely to get these opportunities. If you want to help support the show, you can by going over to our social media, sharing our stuff. It all helps the algorithm out, that kind of thing. We are on Instagram and Facebook. We also kind of have gone into TikTok realm a little bit. I'm less good at TikTok than I am Facebook and Instagram, but that stuff is over there as well. We also, you can watch all of the interviews on YouTube. And if you're watching this on Spotify, you'll see my pretty face as well. So that's the first and the last time I'm ever going to refer to myself as a pretty face on YouTube. But anyway, this is Katrin and Jack of Another Sky on the Nevermind Polly podcast. Press that button, boyo. Hello, everybody. Matt just doing an edit to the podcast. If you are watching this podcast on YouTube or on Spotify, there is a couple of moments in this podcast where the Zoom kind of glitches a little bit and it goes out of sync. Please bear with it. It's nothing new. Zoom is basically dog shit, but we have tried to amend it and it doesn't take away from the overall experience of the podcast. So please do enjoy. Anyway, I am going to shut up and listen to my conversation with Katrin and Jack of Another Sky. See you soon. Hi, guys. Welcome back to the Nevermind Polly podcast. My name is Matt. I'm your host, and we chat to rock and metal bands from around the world. And this week, we're going a little bit left of field. We're going into the indie space, if I should be so bold as to label the artists I'm about to chat to. But the reason for that is because generally, I use rock and metal as a placer, right? It's a general rule of thumb. But if a band is good, they'll get on the podcast if I get offered them. And today's band are fantastic. I'm sat down with Katrin and with Jack of the band Another Sky. How are we doing? How's things?
Hello. Yeah, we're good. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. So we're recording this on a Sunday afternoon / evening. How has your day been so far? Sundays is a weird one, just to kick things off. They always put like random sort of kids films on a Sunday and just chilled out. Has it been nice and chilled so far?
Well, we've been working on a trailer.
Oh, amazing.
Are we allowed to say that?
What's not?
You chill.
I don't know. We've been working on some music.
Yeah. Well, I haven't said what it's for specifically. That was a crazy look I just got from Katrina.
What should we label it as? You've been cooking
We've been cooking today. We've been cooking today. Yeah, we've been cooking today, big time.
Yeah,
lovely job.
Lovely job. We're in the crypt, which is our studio. Which
amazing.
Is lovely, and. Yeah, now we're chatting to you. It's a good Sunday.
Well, there we go. I hope I can continue a trend of having a good Sunday for you both. So we're here today to chat about your brand new record, which is called Beach Day. It is out on the 1st of March, which as this goes out, everyone will have heard it, hopefully. If not, it will either go on the Monday before or the day of. That's generally how I tend to do it, Monday or Friday. I've been lucky enough to been sent it, and it is wonderful. My first question to you both is, what is the mood like in camp ahead of its release? As we have this conversation at the start of February, what's the mood like? Because some bands say to me, anticipation. Some people go kind of like, oh, it's getting to that kind of jittery bit of sort of like, we're so proud of it and we're sat on it for so long and now it's getting released. What is kind of your mood and perception like at the moment?
You go first.
We don't really have anywhere to live. So I think I'm not even thinking about it coming
For sure, of course.
Yeah, we kind of like it's like the similar thing where you've been sitting on it for so long, you kind of I don't know, like we've been through all the emotions already, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, my least favorite bit of making music is releasing it,
Yeah.
which is crazy. But for me, I find everything after what we do really stressful. But the really lovely bit is when obviously people like it and they come to the gigs and then you see people singing and that's really cool. So obviously you have to release music to get that bit. So
Yeah, we're way more of a like. I'm just ha I feel like I'll feel a sense of release, relief, sense of
Yeah,
relief when it comes
a
out.
relief, a relief because of the release. There we go.
Oh, lyric, poetry. I'm gonna steal
You can have that. That's absolutely fine.
that.
So yeah, I totally understand that because I'm not in a band or anything, but the only thing that I can liken that to is us having this conversation now, and you know, it goes fantastically. I then have to sit on it for a month and be like, and then it will go out and get released, and then you get the instant feedback of either it's fantastic or it's great, whatever. And it's like, oh, I kind of like you're on to the next thing, as we just discussed. You've been good,
Yeah.
you're kind of
Yeah.
on to the next.
Have you ever had someone say that they hate your pod? Like, does anyone ever say, "Oh, I didn't like that
Not directly to my face, at least. So, like,
podcast"?
what I have had is, so this podcast is in its fourth year. When we first started in 2020, it was a whole different thing. It was me and two friends, and we were just basically the idea was that we would sit around in a virtual pub, is because we couldn't go out to pubs, right? And we would
Yeah.
just chat shit, chat about music, whatever, our lives, and just kind of make sense of the pandemic. So when the pandemic opened up, one went off to university, the other had a baby with his partner. So like it kind of left me kind of standing on my own and was like, well, I really enjoy doing this thing. And luckily enough, I've got a couple of friends who are in bands. And I said, do you fancy want it? And they were like, yeah. And then that kind of snowballed into where we are now. So
Oh.
I did get a negative review once. And you should never Google your own name, your own band, your own brand, anything like that. Just
Oh
never do it.
yeah.
But I did get one. It was like, much better when the other two were on it. Matt ditched them for getting bigger guests and all that. And I was like, simply not. Like, and people who have given me kind of stick for that, I've gone right back. Like, if you listen to the whole like 4 years, there's moments in time where I've gone, no, this is the genuine story. Like, they left because of this reason. I wanted to do it. Do you know what I mean? It's such a
Yeah.
weird one, but
It's like
also
band members leaving.
it
It's
is
like, oh.
the thing that I find is really strange. Is people on the internet, because that's the world we live in nowadays, right? When you're a musician, you put music onto, you know, a master. I'm assuming that's how you still do it. Like in my head, it's still like the big master reel tapes. It's probably not how it's done nowadays, but in any case, and then it gets uploaded onto the internet. Obviously, physical stuff still exists, but essentially, a lot of it kind of lives in the ether. And then people go like, yeah, either I love this or I hate this. If you dislike something, this is a public service announcement, everybody. If you dislike something, just scroll past. There is literally no need to be like, meh, this is terrible. Like, I just don't understand
No, I
that
agree with
culture.
that.
It's very weird. But like what you like, and if you dislike it, in fact, with this podcast, I try not to have things I dislike. I just go, if I don't hate anything, right? I'm really open-minded when it comes to music, or at least I try to be. And I just go, it's not for me. It's very talented, but it's not for me. And that is fine to live in that box, if that makes sense, you know?
Defo.
Yeah,
Defo.
it's a weird one. It's a real weird one. So I wanted to touch on Beach Day and dive into all of that because this album is fantastic, as I've already said. This is the first album, the first full-length album in 3 years. It's kind of, it must be nice to have a full body of work out there. And I don't want to like touch too much on like the pandemic-y times because it's so depressingly boring. But what I will say is when you released the first record, the world was in a different place. Do you feel like that kind of influenced that record versus the new record? Did you approach it differently? How did that all kind of come about in that respect?
It changed the trajectory of our band because the week of the pandemic, we'd an I think we'd announced the album, the first one, and It just changed everything. We couldn't gig live. No one's attention was on new music. No one. There were statistics saying that people were going to comfort music and old music, and no one was discovering new music. So we ended up in the crypt of a church. We ended
Amazing.
up, Jax produced this record, really.
Wow, it was a team effort
It
from
was a
everyone.
team effort, but you took the lead.
Oh yeah,
Whereas we used to have big shot producers. Now Jack is the big shot producer, and it was a team effort. We all brought to the
yeah. I
table.
wouldn't say that I like produced it. I definitely put it all together. But like the guys, everyone's full of ideas. So it's a big old, on the record it says produced by another guy because it's true. It was a big old team. Whoever had the best idea won kind of situation.
Which has always been the band. Whoever's got the best idea wins.
It's just we try everything and yeah. So yeah, this album was really fun to make, the second one. The first album was really drawn out, really long, and all the songs were really old. Like we wrote the songs when we were like 19 for some of those on that first album. So this one we just actually were in control for the first time. In many ways, there was no COVID, there was our own studio that we could actually record things to a decent level. We did it with barely any equipment. I can't actually believe how shoestring it was for what it came out like, because it sounds like pretty posh, but it wasn't done like that. So yeah, it's cool. It's been a very different journey, hasn't it, on this one? But we feel like we're on the right path now. The first one just felt like the first one. It feels like we're becoming the band that we want to be more now, I guess.
Absolutely. That's one thing I think is kind of an important part to mention, the fact that it was kind of produced by you guys as a band and as a unit, because I think, don't get me wrong, producers, mixers, they have such an integral role to music and what they do, and their skill set is mostly incredible. But I think if you were to learn the skills yourselves as a band and do it, does that kind of give you an extra sense of freedom? Because I think a producer, again, I'm not in a band, so please correct me if you feel like I'm wrong, but it's kind of like, cool, this is a cool idea, but they sort of chip in ideas, and like, especially if you're doing something you love, which is your art, if people start chipping away at it and not criticizing, but trying to mold it to a certain sound or a certain way, it can be, at least I would feel like it's has the word I'm looking for. It's kind of like can be upsetting, maybe. If someone said to me, right, Matt, you've got this structure of the podcast, how you do it, right? I don't want that. I don't want that. It's like, but I really like that thing I do. I really like this part of it. Do you know what I mean? Was it a sense of kind of a relief you could do it on your own in that respect?
For sure. The one time a producer tried, well, a producer just did their job.
Yeah,
And
for
we
sure.
didn't like it. We very quickly stopped working.
Yeah, that was early days when we just signed our first record deal. We kind of were like, now we have money, let's go and work with someone. Like the obvious kind of young, we were young. Myself, all of the guys actually have been producing people. I actually do it as a job as well. Like I produce other bands.
Amazing.
So, and artists and mix things for people and all sorts. So I've always done it kind of professionally, even back when I was younger. So we've always been very in tune with that side of the process. And as a band, we're extremely hard on ourselves, like a producer would be anyway. So we ended up finding that we just didn't need the people to do that because by the time we got to them, it was done.
Yeah, of
It's when
course.
we write songs, we're producing them. We're very like, I don't know, we
We
always,
know our sound.
yeah, we
We
just focus on each song and let it be what it needs to be.
know what the band is. It's just throwing paint at a canvas. And yeah, so
We did get Adrian Bushby to mix this album though.
they're amazing.
He is a really great mixer. He's done loads of cool stuff. The reason why I picked him out was because he did a couple of Feeder albums.
Amazing. Nice.
Pushing the Senses and what's the other one? I can't remember the other name of it. It's got the two big ones. He
Yeah,
engineered
sure.
them and mixed them. And when we were making this record, I personally was just like, I just want this to feel like it's wide open. Like sonically, there's no lid on the band. It's almost like you're at an outdoor concert, you know, when you hear sound come over you and it just goes above. And Adrian's work kind of always sounds like that. And so I built that into the sound of the album anyway. And then he was the guy that made it even more like that. So it was really cool.
I love it. I love it.
Clarity like that.
Absolutely. It does sound incredibly, and this album is incredibly good, kind of broad church of different sounds and different like moods, but all kind of encompassed is one. And I know that sounds like a real cliche, and I do apologize, but I don't review records generally. I just go, they're bloody brilliant, and that's kind of my review. But you can't write that on a poster, unfortunately. But yeah, it does kind of when it, and again, I'm really, really conscious because people have their knives out for me sometimes, right? This album sounds brilliant on headphones. And I mean that in the sense of get yourself like not even really expensive, just mid-range headphones and just listen to it because it reveals itself. And I think all good, interesting music reveals itself in the sense that I've had this album for maybe 2 or 3 days and I've listened to it like initially like once. I listen to a lot of music in the car, which might not be the best environment to do it, but I kind of get like an overall flavor to begin with. And then I'm like, cool, I'm gonna sit down with it at home, headphones on, and I'm like, yeah, this just took me to like a really nice Zen kind of positive space. But one thing I did want to say is some of the lyrical choices on this record are brilliant, like to the point where they made me chuckle out loud because it was, and that I mean that as a compliment because it kind of it caught me off guard because I'm like, this is a lovely, and there was just like a quip or a line, and I was like, that's fucking brilliant. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so where does that kind of lyrical kind of content come from? Is it from you, Katrina? Is that where it all starts and things?
Yeah, so they're my lyrics. I think it's really nice to be in a band where they just trust you.
Yeah,
I
absolutely.
feel like a writer more than, no, actually, now I feel like more of a musician. I used to feel like more of a writer than a musician. Now I feel like more of a musician. But what lyrics made you chuckle?
It was the I can't remember off the top of my head of the song now. It's but I think it's number 5 or number 6 on the album, and I can't think of the exact. There was just it was just a musical quip. It was kind of like this really lovely sort of beat and things, and then it was just a line, something about wanting. It's sounding really miserable now. Something about wanting to die or something, and it was
Oh,
kind
the
of like,
pain.
yeah,
The
the
pain
pain.
makes me feel like I'm alive.
Yeah, it was kind of like a sort of a yeah, it was just the way it kind of like turned on a dime, and I was kind of like, oh, that was kind of good. Like, it was just unexpected to my ears because again, I was just letting it kind of wash over me and be a thing and in my ears, and I was like, that kind of like, and it pricked my ears up, so I had to go back like on Spotify, and, like on the Apple thing, and like turn it back for like 15, 20 seconds. I was like, what did she say? I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, so I really like
So
that. That's cool.
I do whole class guitar teaching for primary
Amazing.
school kids, and I
Nice.
showed them the record the other day, and they said, "We're really worried about you. Some of these song names are really morbid. Like, are you okay?"
Yeah.
And I think, do you know what? I was in such a low headspace. The reason there's loads of lyrical kind of quips is because I just wanted to find humor in it. I just
Yeah, of
wanted to
course.
find it funny, a little bit funny.
Yeah.
And that's why there's really dark stuff, but it's sort of sarcastic. I
Yeah.
don't know if you got that vibe from the
Yeah, no,
lyrics.
absolutely, absolutely. So like my kind of my forte, if you like, and the stuff I normally listen to is kind of like sort of aggy kind of punk stuff, and but it is a very broad church. So when it kind of had those kind of sarcastic kind of like turns of phrases, it was just like that could be straight out of a, like a punk kind of like hardcore record, like the way that's kind of, but rather than it being shouted and spat at you, it's kind of said in kind of this kind of luscious, beautiful tones. I was like, oh, that's kind of like, it's kind of almost cutting. Do you know what I mean? When I listen to it, I was like, oh, I like that.
I love
Like,
that.
Yeah, that's cool that you picked that up. I mean, I'm going to speak on Katrin's behalf, but she's just one of the best lyricists of kicking about these days, in my opinion. There's not many people that can write a proper song, like with lyrics that really mean something and make it enjoyable in that way. Like everything's so easy going these days. I know there's undercurrents of people doing different things, but the lyrics on all of our stuff are always top notch, and that's her. It's not me. That's not me. I'm just a fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I love
Yeah. Always good, always interesting, and I think that's like part of the freedom of our band. A lot of people ask, like, what genre is it? Like, where does it fit? And there is, we just don't care. We just do what we want every time. Hence why there's punky bits in there. You know, I grew up listening to AC/DC and Led Zeppelin, so there's like big guitar riffs, and we got dance music because like we all love that as well. It's all just so we let each
Absolutely.
other do the, you know, our thing without choking it for a genre.
And
Absolutely.
similarly, with like Jack's guitar playing, there's
Oh,
no
you don't have
other.
to do
No, I do, because honestly, Greg James said on the radio the other
that.
day, it's like we're all solo artists in our own right. And then someone else said it's like an all-star band. You just don't get Jack Gilbert's playing guitar. No, you just don't. And everyone, like, I remember when we were recording Burn the Way or another track, and I remember Max and Naomi looking at you like, what? They were just looking at you like, because obviously we've been in a band 10 years together, we've
Yeah,
seen each other grow up. I mean, there's Max's drumming, Naomi's bass playing, like, it's just,
we're all just fans of each other in the band.
yeah.
Like, and that is the truth too. I mean, as you can hear from what we just bigged each other up massively. It's
Yeah,
like we're
absolutely.
just fans of each other's playing, and that's why this band exists,
And
because
there's no
we just have fun.
hierarchy. Like, there's no hierarchy. And actually, some lyrics have come from you, Jack, over the years. Sometimes Jack will say something really poetic and just won't know. He just won't know. So I'll just get my iPhone out and go, "What was that, Jack?"
Absolutely. It's so funny that you mentioned that. So this is the first time in 4 years that my little brother's going to get a mention on this podcast, but he could be genuinely a stand-up comic, right? Because he just said, like, he's just having a normal conversation, and then he'll just, it's usually after a drink of Christmas, because he doesn't really drink, so he's like a couple of pints of cider and he's on his ass at Christmas, and he'll just say something that's just fucking hilarious. And it's like, what the, where is that going? And he's like, don't know. Let's just, so it's a similar vibe of just being like, you just say something, and you're like, hang on a minute, what did you say? And it was like, that's brilliant. Like, it's like a whole thing. Like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. I love that.
It's a nice way that some of the songs are born, you know. Like, there's some silly songs like Chillers. I don't know if you've heard that one of ours. It's from the
Have
old album
you?
Campaign. But that was a stupid little lyric I came up with one day, you know, chillers,
Chillers in
chillers in the villas in Hollywood. And then Katrina was like, oh, we could do something like
rolls off the tongue.
that.
So good.
Anyway, moving on.
Absolutely. No, it's all good. I love it. I love it. So Jack, you kind of alluded to it there. One thing I like to do with my artists, in that when I get the opportunity, is to take it right back to the beginning in terms of their musical journey and where they kind of grew up, in terms of what they were listening to, how they fell into music. You kind of alluded to it there. Did you want to touch on that? And I'll throw it to Catherine.
Yeah, sure. I mean, so I grew up on the Isle of Wight.
Amazing.
Alongside, this sounds like I'm just doing like a shout out, but
Yes.
Wet Leg and a couple of other bands that are doing really well these days from the island. We all were in the same year groups, like, or a year apart, all went to the same music college. I got into music really young. My granddad plays guitar, my dad plays bass. They were always hanging around the house, and one day I got really bored when I was like 8 years old, and I had a go, and everyone was just like, "You're really good," and I was like, "Cool." And then from that moment onwards, I knew I was going to do music, and I very quickly started writing my own riffs rather than learning other songs. I don't know why, I just wanted to make my own riffs. That was all that was in my head. Started my first band when I was 10, and then
Amazing.
like I've never not been in a band since. And this band back in 2013, I reckon, was like the 10th band I'd been in that I was like kind of trying to make happen. And then when we first played, I just thought, this is it, found it. It
Absolutely.
was like an instant thing. So anyway, yeah, I've been a musician since I can remember, and I've
Amazing.
never ever wanted to do anything else.
So I've had this conversation with a few different artists and guests and things, and this is going to sound like a weird statement. Is it inherited, like, talent, whereas you've picked up a guitar and you've just strummed it and it just makes sense, or is it lots and lots of hard work? And I know the two things aren't mutually exclusive, but for example, you've got like Pavarotti, right? clearly he has got a hell of a set of pipes on him. That is inherited talent, in my kind of opinion. I'm not saying he hasn't worked hard to get there, but some people have this, like, you know, with ticket to football, Lionel Messi, you know, he's just got two left and a right feet, and he's just fantastic. Was it a case of you just picked up and it just worked, or was it a case of kind of building that, and obviously the same to Catherine as well?
Yeah, I'll just finish me, I guess. But I don't want to talk too much. I feel bad for
No,
you. For me, it was yeah, instant. I was instantly good at guitar, like the
for
first
sure.
time I ever touched it, which is weird to say, but
No, that's
my granddad
right.
showed me something and I played it back straight away, and he was like, "Nice." And then my dad showed me something and I played it back, and then I got obsessed with it and I worked my ass off.
Yeah.
So it was a initial like, oh, this is actually what I'm supposed to do. And then I just went full. I'm a mega nerd. I deep dive into everything I'm into. And back then I was just locked myself away.
I see it. Do you know what? I see it in kids I teach, because I teach guitar
Yeah, of
now,
course.
and I see, and with music, I'm gonna put myself next to you, Jack, and say like, I have a great ear for pitch and melody. That's my strength. But on the guitar, it takes a lot for me to just naturally play it. Whereas you're really natural with your hands, Jack. And
Yeah, there are. I think that's the thing with it. Like to your question, there's
yeah,
many
of course.
different ways you can have natural talent
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
in music and just in anything. And it's a lot of it's to do with like your learning style. Like, loads of people can be like very physical. Like I'm my family and me, like they're all my older generations are carpenters and like builders, and everyone's very hands-on, and I kind of grew up hands-on, so physically making music with my hands came very naturally, even at a really young age. Whereas, more, what's the word, intellectual family that, focuses more on studying and getting into reading when you're younger and all those kind of things, your brain in that area is firing. So like Katrin can hear something and play it back straight away using her mind.
Whereas
It's
when
an
if I
interesting
learn it
one.
on a guitar, my hands don't do what I want them to.
Yeah,
But
absolutely.
it's also hard work because you practice for 4 hours every
Yeah,
night
absolutely,
at
of course.
school,
Yeah, more than that. More
whereas
than that.
I was on the piano. I don't know. I don't know.
Different things, isn't it, for different people? You wrote gazillion songs, but straight away, full
I
lyrics.
practiced, but
Bizarre.
always wrote a song. I
Yeah.
never, I would not practice, and I'm kind of regretting that now, but it's fine.
You've done all right.
Absolutely, absolutely. What was your kind of your musical upbringing in that respect then, Katrin?
So I don't come from a musical family, but my parents got a piano, like a real
Amazing.
second-hand one, and it had ivory keys, and it was half a step out of tune. And I just got obsessed. I think I was like 2 years old, and my sister got piano lessons, and I'd run in after her and like learn. I'd listen in to what she was playing, and then run
Yeah, for
in
sure.
and learn what she was playing. But I wasn't encouraged to do music. I just did it all the time, and I was pushed to do something that would actually earn money. And 10 years later, I understand parents. I get it.
Yeah, for sure.
But I just could not do music, and somehow ended up doing music at uni. Met this lot, who had been in loads of bands, and that this is my first proper band.
For
I
sure.
wasn't in bands growing up. I was just me.
Yeah, Katrin was a solo. We all went to Goldsmiths Uni, which is like full of insanely talented people. It's really hard to get in, and like, isn't they're very selective, and you have to be pretty good at what you do. But Katrin was just so good. So like, I instantly begged her to let me be her guitar player for her stuff. So we started like that, didn't we? And then eventually, I was putting a band together for my songs because I was a singer-songwriter too. And I was like, I'm not sure about singing though. And then I was like, oh, I'm looking for a singer, for this
Yeah,
band.
of
And
course.
then Katrina was like, I'll do it. And I was like,
Yeah,
Jack was
amazing.
like, no, I was thinking of so and so, or I was thinking of like
Was just trying to get you
James.
keen.
And I was like, are you gonna ask me? What's going
It
on?
works out in the end.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love that. And also a question I like to ask in terms of growing up and things, what was the first album you ever bought with your own money? And there's no shame in here. There's no guilt of saying like, oh, I owned a, I don't know, a Spice Girls CD, because Spice Girls rule for what it's worth. But people sometimes have this kind of thing where they're like, oh no, I can't, just whatever it was, there are no guilty pleasures. That's the word I'm looking for.
You go first, Katrin. What's yours?
I don't think I've ever bought an album.
I can believe that,
Honest,
actually.
fair.
I can actually believe that. I can seriously believe that.
I don't think I've ever bought an album. I just,
Yeah, literally ever.
whatever my parents or my sister listened to, I just cassette or CD. I remember a Spice Girls cassette, but it was my sister's. I remember a Tracy Chapman CD, but it was my parents. I don't think I've bought
Well,
anything.
good
Nuts.
news. There is a brand new album called Beach Day by a band called Another Sky, which you should definitely buy. Like,
Yeah, that's actually a good one to
if
buy,
that's
that. All right,
that's
that could be
when
my first.
yeah, if you're gonna start anywhere, start with your own. I think that's setting the benchmark. I love it.
Oh,
That's
I
actually
did.
so
Do you
funny.
know what I did when we went to New York? The first record I've ever bought, because I've never had a vinyl player. But when we went to New York, I went round Rough Trade in New York, and I did see "Can You Feel the Illinois" by Seth John Stevens, and I think that was the first record I bought.
I'm not overly familiar, but yeah, amazing stuff. Sounds good. I shall check it out. That sounds
I
amazing.
don't think I've said Illinois.
I don't know how to
It's a
say it.
place
It's
in America. I don't think I've said
yeah,
it, but God.
Illinois is the
Yeah.
place.
Illinois.
You have said it. Yeah, I'm sure you've said that. If someone from Illinois is listening, I apologize. We
Yeah,
apologize.
same.
It's all good.
We're
It's
not
all good.
Illinoisist.
Absolutely. How about you, Jack?
This is gonna sound like a show-off, but like thing in
No,
comparison, but
go on.
genuinely, hand on heart, first CD I ever bought was Back in Black, AC/DC.
Classic.
I
Absolutely
just
love it.
it's a fact, you know.
Why?
I was 9 years old, because it's absolutely badass if you're a
What?
guitarist and that's the first album you buy, because it's really cool. When you're a 9-year-old kid and you buy AC/DC with your own pocket money, that's pretty
Would
bad
say
boy.
that's the least cool. Whoa.
Depends who you are. Depends what
So
you do.
my first, and this wasn't with my own money, it was money that I was given by a friend's parent. We went to a Woolworths and I'd heard Like Slim Shady on the radio by Eminem. So I bought it, but obviously the radio version of that is fully explicit free. I got home, played it. It lasted about 5 minutes in my mum and dad's house. And then it swiftly got removed. Well, I don't know where it went. I think in the bin in hindsight, but I'd lost it for a long time and I was very upset at however old I was. I wasn't very old and gone, where's my CD gone? Like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Have you listened to this? And my dad tried to hand me some prog rock CD. And I was like, yeah, a little bit early for that, dad. We've got to wait a few
Nemesis.
years. Yeah, exactly. To be fair, it was Rush, but we'll get there, dad.
It's even more intense, I'd
Yeah,
say.
just give me a couple of years and we'll get there.
Yeah. I bought that Eminem CD as well, 100%. I
Yeah.
loved Eminem. I loved NWA when I was a kid. I loved Prodigy. I was quite a big music fan. My mum and dad both like are religious music listeners. My dad listens to music 24 hours a day, like every
Absolutely.
day of the week.
I love
So
that. I love that.
I was always like, whoa, what are you doing? You know, there's a lot of CDs in my house. So I was just always.
I feel very, very envious, but also kind of glad that the younger generation have got Spotify and things like that. Because when I was younger, and I'm sure you guys are the same, when apart from Katrine, because she never bought her album, but apart from that being the exception to the rule, it was a case of you bought a CD from HMV or wherever, and if you didn't like it, you're kind of lumped with it, and you had to like it. So luckily now you can be into everything, which makes the genre walls pretty much non-existent, which is lovely. I wanted to ask, talking about live experiences and being a live band and playing live and things like that, what is kind of your 30 minutes to an hour pre-show kind of game? How do you kind of set yourself up for a gig? Because if it was me going out on stage and doing something, I would be a nervous wreck. But you guys are polished musicians, you know what you're doing. But what happens half an hour before stage? Do you kind of go to like into your own kind of headspace and sit and have a bit of zen? Do you come together as a band? How does that all kind of work for you guys?
We used to meditate, but we don't do that. Now it's rock. We do. don't meditate before we go on
Yeah, because
stage.
our sets used to be pretty like deep and like dark. We used to have the stage so dark, and it was all like we tried to just be already, in that mode. But yeah, these days it's more of, to be honest, because we've done hundreds and hundreds of gigs at this point. It's more about just everyone keeping themselves chill. And it's different things for different people, we all give each other our space. Like Naomi, our bassist, will she can't have anyone talking too much about the gig. So like we have to just sort of pretend it's not going to happen for Nay. And then I just physically can't talk to people. Like I get like really angry if someone tries to talk to me. It's like
That's me.
Katrine's fine,
I'm not fine. I'm just bad at saying no. If someone talks to me, I'm
Okay, yeah,
we
for sure.
always have a big hug though, like a big hug, and we just go, come on, let's just give it what we've everything we've got, before just before we walk on stage, like a little team hug. That's about it. It's nothing crazy. I'll have
Absolutely.
a beer. Whatever needs to be done.
I love that. So you mentioned hundreds of gigs there. So this sets me up nicely for a question I've asked a lot of different guests. Where is the weirdest or the strangest place you've played a show? Now, it doesn't have to have negative connotations, because most people go, we played to one man and their dog and it was bullshit. What I mean is you've kind of looked around at each other and gone, this is cool, we're planning a gig, but who booked this? Why are we here? Like, we've heard people say they've played like pizza parlors and kind of like cool things like abandoned churches and things like that. Where's somewhere where you've just got to look around at your fellow bandmates and gone, huh, this is a strange setup. Why are we here?
We played on at the top of the Shard.
Oh God, yeah, that's definitely the weirdest one.
We
Yeah, good
played for
shout.
Fender.
Incredible. Yeah, Fender Guitars released a new series called the Ultra Series. And
Amazing.
we were like the band that like played it for all the media, and it was on the second to top floor of the Shard on New Year's Eve, or no, what was it? Firework night.
And if you go to the
Bloody mad.
loo, if you go to the loo, it's just like open
Yeah, it's just the window.
windows because no one can see you. And that I remember that shocking me. I've also played a gig in a cave.
That's pretty rock and roll. I love
That's
that.
cool, I'd say,
It
rather than
wasn't
weird.
with Another Sky, it was with our friend Elsa Tully, and we went and played in a
On that
cave.
Fender gig, can I just say, because it's really funny, I broke a string on the first chord of the first song in front of the CEO of Fender for the new guitars that they were supposed to, they were all of the press in front. And it is no lie. And literally, I had to grab one that was on like a spinning platform off it.
Of
And the
course.
guy didn't know how to put the strap on. The head of Fender couldn't put the strap on. And we were literally like fighting over the guitar. I was like, you give it to me. I was just like, I can't do this show. So that was, for me, that was actually the most horrendous moment of my whole life as a guitar player, because I was so embarrassed. I was like, how have I managed to break a string here?
But the trade-off, you played on top of the Shard. I mean, two stores down, but playing on top of the Shard, that's the trade-off, surely. Like,
No, it was great. It was cool.
broke the string, but at the same time,
So embarrassing, man. Like it really hurt my soul. But it was cool.
I feel like of the two things, the guy from Fender not being able to put a strap on probably hurt his ego more than it did you. I mean, I'm speaking on his behalf now, but yeah, I know what I would be rather more embarrassed of if I was part of this massive corporation who make guitars and I can't. But alas, there we
It was one of those moments where it's like, you don't know how your locking strap works for your own guitar. Nice one.
love that.
I don't mind bitching about Fender CEO.
It's fine. I'm sure
Whatever.
he's a big fan. He listens regularly. There we go.
We don't use their guitars anymore. It's
It's all
cool.
good. It's just a guitar company, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Like
So
Disney.
I've got a couple of final questions for you both, and I'm so grateful for your time today. One question I have asked every single guest in 2023, and I'm continuing to ask in 2024, is as goes as follows. It's got a little bit of a preamble, so bear with, right? So when Apple or Spotify or Amazon or one of these big platforms that hosts podcasts buys this podcast off me as a podcast exclusive, gives me lots of lovely money for doing so, rather than reinvest it back in the podcast like a normal human being, I'm going to blow all of that money on one big festival, right? Another Sky are invited to play the festival along with all the other bands we've interviewed on the show in the last 4 years. I think it's probably going to be about a week long at this point, but it's fine. We'll make it work. We're going to have a lovely big field, the biggest field we can get our hands on. And what I'm asking every single artist who are going to appear at my dream festival is what you would like to add to the rider of said festival.
I'm going to say a bath.
A bath. Nice. Do you say bath? Oh. I say bath. That's different ends of the country. That's what that is. But yeah, amazing. Nice.
But one bath for everyone. What do you mean?
Just for me.
That's
giant
why I was going for. Like just everyone just piles in the one bathtub.
That is gross.
Just one giant bath and we all get in before the game.
Yeah. Minging.
How about you, Jack? You can redeem yourself after Katrina threw you under the bus.
I didn't have a chance to think about it. What would I really want? Because I don't like going to festivals, so maybe I can think sensibly about what would make me want to go. Oh, like actual houses to like stay in.
Yeah, you've got it. You've nailed it.
That's my one. Like apartments. You know, like apartment complexes, temporary, eco-friendly, ideally, you know, reusable.
So how ego are you going with it? Because the reason I bring this up is because when Guns N' Roses played at Downer Festival 2018, it's been famously reported that they had like a whole like football field complex purely just for them. So in terms of housing, are you just having a single band house? Are you personally just having a house for yourself, or is it mixed artist bands living together? How are you running that?
Yeah, I feel like some kind of nice big slap up,
like a uni, like a uni joint, like
yeah,
a uni,
yeah, halls. Yeah, halls,
exactly, yeah.
Manor.
Yeah, halls for all the bands.
Yeah, yeah, amazing.
With a kitchen, you know.
Oh, every act, every musician could get their own mobile home van.
Oh, yeah, that could work. I'd take that as a second option. You know, like everyone gets a little motorhome.
Yeah, almost like what they do like on film trailers.
Exactly.
Yeah, that
exactly.
Works.
One of them per band, because you can sleep four or five in some of those. Yeah, and that would sort most people out. So that'd be amazing. Like festivals came default with that. If this festival came with that, I'll be there, man.
Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. I've got one final question before we wrap things up. It's a question I've asked every single artist who's been on the show. It's a very simple question, but it's personal to the piece person I'm asking. What is the best thing about being in a band for you both individually?
I just wouldn't have done music if I wasn't surrounded by being inspired by everyone in the band, like hearing them play and going somewhere new.
Yeah, that's fair.
To the people.
The people.
I think it's probably the same for me. It's just, it feels like, well, this is the first time I've ever felt it, because from the start this band felt right, but the people that come to it, even, you know, like our team, like our label, our managers, people that just come on board. It just feels so good, because it's all around this like really lovely idea. So I think I like being in a band because it's a really nice idea.
Yeah, I love that.
And in reality.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's something to work towards. It's just like amazing. And it, even if it's just making music, that bit is amazing. Yeah. So it's like, it's not a financial thing or an end goal thing. It's just like this weird little like, I mean, we talk about it sometimes, like, you know, it's a little bit of a religion in a way, because it gives you some kind of purpose to sort of move forward. So for me, that is why I love being in the band, because without it, I wouldn't have that like North Star.
Absolutely. And also as I've been going to gigs since I was 14, and I'm 30, going to be 31 in next month when this podcast comes out. So, yeah, I can definitely say that I've been in a crowd and it's felt like a religious experience, and I'm not in any way that way inclined. But when everyone comes together and they're all there for the same reason, to have fun, have a laugh, sing songs, dance, you know, whatever it may be, it's a lovely, lovely experience.
It is, yeah. That. It's prime. It's just like some old primal kind of basic thing that like technology can't really mess with
Yeah,
as well.
absolutely.
So yeah, it's just something pure in this world, isn't it? Which is cool.
Absolutely.
So it's amazing to be involved in it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm sorry we've overran a little bit,
That's
but I
all
was just having a lovely, lovely time, and I hope you guys did as
right.
well.
Oh, yeah, it was great, man.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. So another Skies brand new record, Beach Day, is out on the 1st of March, which is 2 days before my birthday. So it's a lovely little birthday treat I've received early, which is lovely. Is there anything that you guys want to say? Anything we need to talk about? Anything we need to plug at the end of the podcast?
Just thank you. This has been really fun. Thanks for
Oh,
the chat.
glad. Thank you. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. Awesome.
Yeah, it's wicked. And if anyone's tuning in and somehow interested in our band after all of that, please come to a gig. See you there.
Absolutely. Lovely job. Lovely job. Awesome. This has been a pleasure, and I hope to do this again in person when you guys hit the road and whatnot. And
Sounds good.
yeah, I will definitely come and catch you guys. And one thing I try and always say, and I sometimes forget, I will buy you a beverage of your choice as a thank you for coming on the show, because time is
Sounds
money
good.
and I really appreciate it. So thank you so much, guys. We will
Nice one,
see you
man.
all next time. Peace and love, everybody.